It is hour number three of Midday with Trey and BK at 12:50. We crosstalk it with Rod Babers ahead of the Rodcast from 1 to 3. And shooting the bull at 12:30, cockfighting is apparently not as legal in Arkansas as I thought. And joining us now in studio, it is Black Lab. Yes, that's the alias we're going with here. He is co-founder of Shaggy Bevo, which then became Shaggy Texas. And after being sued by one of his business partners for the rights to Shaggy, he's now the owner and operator of SurlyHorns.com. The story of his demise, the demise of Shaggy,
his
rather.
His demise? What do you get? What do you mean? He's fine. He's
his
right here.
Shaggy demise is what I meant, is
not,
one worth telling.
Yet.
So we're actually having Black Lab, a.k.a. Bob, on the show right now. Bob, thank you so much for coming in studio. How you doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. And I guess to start off, we'll ask you just how Shaggy got going to begin with. Now, let me get this right. This is this website was more than 10 years old, correct?
Yeah, it started in 2007.
Okay.
Just after the we lost A&M in football, November. I was at a site called Horn Fans, and mm-hmm. they had a chat room, and the couple of people in the chat room were talking about, hey, we need to start up our new site. You know, Horn Fans was kind of over-moderated, and he got in trouble for a lot of things, and I got a pretty funny story about getting in trouble there, too. But so I had a hosting company at the time, so I went away and grabbed a PHPBB bulletin board, threw it up on a server I had, sitting there doing nothing, came back to chat. Everybody left but one person. Said, hey, horns.blacklab.com is now up to come, you know, come post. And I really thought it was going to be like, it's going to be up for a month and then go away. And here we are 10 years later, and it kind of grew to be the biggest message board.
What'd you do to get in trouble at Horn Fans?
So there was a thread about Charlie Weiss, and somebody had posted, is Charlie Weiss the greatest coach of all time? And I posted that Charlie Weiss's FUPA was the greatest of all time.
And that's tough to argue right there. That's a strong case. You
mark one on the bingo card.
Yeah, so I got warned for that. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing about that was...
You got warned for that?
Yes.
Oh,
I got
my
a warning
gosh.
From a guy named Bob in Houston.
Is it like a millennial site or something like that?
No, it's a bunch of old people now.
That's funny.
They're pretty conservative. And I want to say Robert and Katie, the people that ran the site, were some of the best people mm-hmm. I've ever met in my life. And, you know, they were absolutely wonderful people. And when Shaggy started up, they were actually happy Shaggy started up, because we took all the, can you say it? ASS out of the mm-hmm. out of Horn Fans, moved them over to Shaggy, so they were pretty happy about it, because it was pretty much a wild wild west when it started.
Okay.
By the way, I'm looking at the thread on Surly Horns right now, and the station is getting blasted for commercials. How many commercials we have? We got to pay the bills, guys. I got to put food on the table here. But more importantly, why I bring that up, I know a lot of you are listening, and you've asked about calls. Well, we're not going to take any calls during this interview, but if you have some questions, text us on the Specs text line, questions for Black Lab, and we'll ask them. 512-337-3776. Of course, you guys are, you know, the avid fans of the website, so we want to make sure you get your opinion taken care of. All right, so running a free message board site, I mean, what is that like, Black Lab? Because there's so many alternative options for Texas fans that cost money, right? You have to pay to get insider status, and then you have to pay to talk on these message boards and be a part of the discussions with the people who are on the site. So what was the idea about going free, and how are you guys able to be successful despite not charging?
So I think the key to it was that we kept it free. There was no it was optional to give money, donations, and then try to moderate it as little as possible. You know, just go and moderate what really needs to be moderated, so it stays, you know, somewhat safe for work, and, you know, with pictures and things like that, but keep the discussion open, you know, that Horn Fans and the other message boards would squash any threads about, you know, fire Mac Brown, or, you know, this player stinks, or, you know, anything like that would just get deleted instantly. And Shaggy was the first message board for Texas fans that allowed us to speak openly about the different people. And that's what really made it successful. We just put ads at the top, the ad revenue. You know, a lot of months the bill for the rack didn't pay for the, you know, I paid out of pocket. And then as it grew and the ad revenue grew, then it started to make some money. But, you know, for the majority of its life, it hasn't been a, you know, I'm not going on trips or anything from the money. It's just been break even or a little bit more.
At its start, what was Kevin Morgan's role in Shaggy Bevo?
Kevin wasn't involved when it started.
So was not involved. Okay.
It started in 2007, and it wasn't. I didn't meet Kevin until 2009.
Okay, so was it you and your business partner? Can I say his name?
Ross. Ross is the other one.
Okay, so Ross was the person that you started Shaggy with.
No, I started it. Actually, the guy that I started with was a guy that posted on Horn Fans by. His name on Horn Fans and Shaggy was Poncho Negro.
Okay.
And so he was the one that came up with the idea kind of on that chat room that night and said, hey, we need to start a, or I need to start a new thing. And so I was like, I'll take care of the technical side of it. So he's the one that kind of started it. When Shaggy started, he came over and he kind of moderated. And I think he's still a moderator and everything in the board, but he kind of disappeared and left and kind of left it to me.
Okay, and so then at some point in 2009, your friend Ross introduced you to a mutual friend who became a business partner in Kevin, correct?
Yeah, he introduced me to Kevin Morgan. Kevin, Ross, and I started what was called Envision Webforce LLC, which mm-hmm. was a holding company to basically Ross pitched Kevin with the idea that me and Ross could build really cool websites. Kevin gave us some money. And we'll go build something really cool. And it became DrillMap, which is a oil and gas data company. We scraped data from all over the web and then put it into a Google Map-based interface.
Hmm.
Kind of revolutionary at the time. Ended up raising about $10 million in venture capital, grew to 30 employees, and then kind of went under when oil went down to $55 a barrel and things happened, and it actually sold out to P2 Energy a couple years ago.
And so at that point, did the overall business relationship begin to sour between Kevin and you guys?
At the beginning, it was fine. The it wasn't until about a year into it that, or not even a year, probably like 7 or 8 months into it that things started to happen. That Ross and I, of course, wanted more money. Kevin didn't want to put as much money in as we wanted, so it's kind of stifled our growth. And it was hard to our employees didn't get paid a lot, and it was just a big mess. And then at that point. Shaggy was in a rack, and the rack was shared with DrillMap's servers. Mm-hmm. And I was getting the money ad revenue from Shaggy, and I was paying for the entire rack. And I approached Kevin and Ross and said, hey, we need to pay a couple hundred bucks towards me to help pay for the rack, or, and then Ross presented an idea of, hey, why don't you have the revenue from Shaggy go to Envision, and then me and Kevin will sell ads on Envision. You keep the first. And it was $2,000 a month out of the Shaggy profits, and then we'll just share in Shaggy, basically. And at the time, it was like I did it because I wanted to help the company and do everything. I didn't give it my idea.
And how long ago was this that
this
you did it?
This was 2009, I think. 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was pretty soon after you guys had met that you made the switch over in terms of the racks.
Yeah, and never in my mind did I give ownership to Shaggy. I simply was sharing the revenue.
Sure.
But in Kevin's mind, I had given Shaggy, at the beginning when I signed the contract and, the revenue proved that I'd given it to him. And so it was kind of a, you could see both sides of the argument.
Okay. Yeah. So fast forward now to several years later, this lawsuit where he decided to go after you, even though technically I think you were a plaintiff on the lawsuit as well because you are a part owner of the company that was represented in the lawsuit, suing you for full ownership of Shaggy. When did that all go down?
So the lawsuit started about 3 years ago. He filed it.
Okay.
Yeah, he filed it as Envision Webforce. So, in fact, I was suing myself, and I win 28% of whatever the lawsuit wins.
Congratulations.
Thanks. But it was after DrillMap got the venture capital, I basically diverted funds from Shaggy back to myself because, I owned it in my mind. And so he was mad that I had diverted that revenue stream, and he thought that was his or Envision's. And so he sued me over it.
And the deposition and the trial were somewhat comedic, and I know the end result is something serious and led to you guys having to do something different, separate from Shaggy. But what were some of the highlights for you in terms of? We'll start with the deposition in terms of some of the subject matter that was brought up that you were having to or supposed to be answering in a serious manner, but was clearly a joke done from the message boards.
Yeah, so. For some dumb reason, a guy on the Reddit Longhorn Reddit section asked me to do an AMA on Reddit. So I did this AMA on Reddit, and people asked all these different questions, and I answered them. And I was at the in the deposition, and the opposing counsel asked me, "Are you Bob X11 anywhere?" And I was trying to think of, you know, Clash of Clans or, you know, PlayStation or something. I was like, what the hell did I say on PlayStation Network that's going to get me in trouble here? And then I was like, oh, crap, that's my name on Reddit. And so he's like, is this the AMA that you, is this your answers to this AMA? And I was like, yeah. And so the first thing he brings up is the Charlie Weiss FUPA. And I have to explain what a FUPA is to him.
He asked you to spell out the acronym.
Oh, yeah, he did. He asked me what it stands for, and I can't say it on the radio.
Of course.
It's the front upper something area. But it's so he asked me about that. And then he asked me about Megan Willis.
And to try and put this as radio friendly as possible, somebody there was a thread that was started about Megan Willis and how attractive he was, and somebody said something about letting her, or that he would want to do that.
Well, so it's a longer story. It's actually kind of funny, because on the Horn fans board, they had a board called 316 that was like adult oriented, or, you know, talk about sex or whatever.
Right.
And but there's one big rule, which was don't talk about UT sports girls in that board, you know. And so there's a poster on the board who said, hey, now that Megan Willis has graduated, let's talk about Megan Willis. And so Horn fans shut the Austin 316 board down after that post.
That was the end of that.
That was the end of that. So Horn or Shaggy starts up. The same guy, it was Maximum Barnes, shows up on Shaggy, and he says, hey, so let's talk about Megan Willis, you know, because he had been banned at dropped at 316 on Horn fans.
Sure.
So it turns out one of our posters, JT, actually knows Megan in real life, tells her, hey, they're talking about you on Shaggy. And she shows up to Shaggy and says, you know, first of all, guys, everybody's talking about her possibly being a lesbian because she's on a softball team, of course. And
savages.
And so she answers, hey boys, I'm, you know, I like boys or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure that riled up the crowd a little bit, huh?
Well, it did, because like three posts later, somebody posted something that I can't say on the radio that was possibly the funniest thing that I've...
Did he say he wanted to do that to her? Or
yeah,
he wanted to
do it to her.
He wanted to you and her be, if you get what I'm saying.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Wow. That's yes. Very
classy.
Oh,
yes.
Man. Can you explain this this Tree Fitty story for me,
sure,
please, sir,
so,
that I'm reading on this right now? Because this is blowing my mind that this was actually used in the court of law.
Yeah, so in the Ask Me Anything, somebody asked me how much is Shaggy worth, and I said, you know, about Tree Fitty, you know, the... the South Park, you know, dinosaurs and Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Oh, man.
Chief's parents thing. And so I answered Tree 50. So we're in the court. I'm on the stand. And the opposing counsel, who's this just Harvard douchebag. I mean, he's just total douchebag. And he says, have you ever claimed to know the net worth or how much Shaggy is worth? And I was like, no. And he said, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, let's take a look at this. And he approaches the bench, and he points out the Tree Fitty. And I'm like, I start laughing.
I was about to say, were you able to keep your composure at all?
I started laughing, kind of let out a snort. And then he realized, I think that was the moment that he realized that, oh, that was bad.
Yep.
And so I was like, that was a joke. You know, there's the show South Park, and the opposing counsel's like, no more questions, Your Honor. And Your Honor's like, Mr. Blacklab, please be quiet. And then and there's these characters, and they're always talking about the Loch Ness Monster and Tree 50, and the judge is like, Mr. Blacklab,
please be quiet. Oh, you're trying to explain the story, and the judge is trying to let you shut up.
Tell me to shut up, and I'm like, come on, let me finish the story.
You got to protect yourself.
The jury
man.
Needs to understand, you know, and so they kind of shut me down. And
that is awesome.
That was the best part of the whole trial.
How long did the trial go for?
3 days.
And the end result was the ruling against you.
Right. Ownership of Shaggy. And some other things.
How long ago was this?
This was the trial was in July.
Okay.
And then the ruling came down in February. The judge actually signed the thing a month ago. And so Friday was the 30 days after the thing. So it's now completely over. No more appeals, no more anything.
And what was your feeling whenever that final ruling came down?
Sadness. I mean, Shaggy, it's hard to explain, but... it's kind of the same feeling, you know, like when your dog dies or, you know, just I, you know, it was my baby, you know, mm-hmm. I'd taken it from, you know, the four or five of us in
dump. There we go. It's all right.
There's
the sailor in you, right?
Coming out.
6 years in the Navy.
I can't help say things like that, but took it from that to 35,000 members, and
that's awesome.
You know, and grew it, and everybody, you know, the first 6 months, everybody's like, "This is going to die," because all these other offshoots from Horn Fans died. You know, there was like four or five boards that started up.
I didn't know,
and
that.
All
okay.
of them died, and this one, for some reason, you know, kept going. And I think, you know, that was a lot to do with how we moderated and how we ran it.
So before we get to talking about Surly Horns a little bit more and what you've got going on, I mean, do you know what the plan for Shaggy is right now, moving forward happening now?
Kevin is, I gave Kevin, it was kind of funny. He called me yesterday morning. We talked for a little while, and he was like, "What do I do now?" And I was like, "Well, you should probably try to keep the board running." So he's going to take, he took a dump of the database and the website, and is moving it into the cloud, and they're going to shift it over. I just approved the domain name transfers to his registrar today. So at some point in the next day or two, it's moving over to Kevin.
Now, what about the story? And I think a lot of people want to know this one, or at least a refresher of the fans of the sites, the Shaggy Bevo transition to Shaggy Texas.
So, there was a thread that showed up on Shaggy that was F. Mac Brown.
Okay.
And a day after that showed up, and you know, Horn Fans and other boards just wouldn't allow stuff like that, where we did.
Right.
And the day or so, maybe a week after that thread showed up, we got a cease and desist from the University of Texas saying, "Bevo is copyrighted. You can't use this."
Wow.
"And you need to change your name." Went to a bunch of lawyers, talked to them, and all of them said the same thing. Yeah, you might win, but you're going to lose. And
yeah, going up against that beast, the University of Texas, right?
It's at 100,000 minimum legal fees. It's really not worth it. The funny thing was, it was the law firm that sent it is actually Katie from Horn Fans' brother is the lawyer on the name of that law firm. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not. But
interesting.
But it really makes me mad because there's, you know, Bevo beat it at the Austin American Statesman. There's a Bevo store. There's all these Bevo things, and they don't, you know, they don't get anything, but, you know, put one little F. Mac Brown thread up and you're
that's all it takes right there.
UT, you know?
Now, you guys made national headlines for something called Pedo Bear. Explain to the people what Pedo Bear is.
Is it Pedo Bear or is it Pedo Bear?
It's Pedo Bear. Pedo sounds better than pedo.
Okay.
Does it?
Yeah.
So some of our posters at the Penn State came to the Cotton Bowl a few years ago, and some of our posters came up with the idea of showing up in a pedo bear costume.
Oh.
And so they did, and they showed up, and I think they got kicked out by security after a little while, but they did make the rounds, and it did make a lot of major newspapers and other websites. So it was, yeah, it was something that added a whole bunch of people to Shaggy.
And what was the sign that the pedo bear was carrying in the stadium?
I don't remember.
It's like something about keeping quiet anyhow.
Yeah, keep quiet, yeah.
I'll look that one up. That is gold. All right, so Surly Horns right now, and I'm refreshing this interview is going on. It's hilarious, and we appreciate all of you for listening. But tell people about the site, how they can get involved, and what's to come on Surly Horns.
So just to be clear, I'm not the owner.
Okay, you're not, okay.
I'm just a member. I'm going to help moderate and stuff, but I'm not the owner. And so the idea is to keep Shaggy alive, you know, to keep the torch carrying, that, you know, on very low moderated, you know, message board to talk about UT sports and life in Austin and Dallas, Houston, and all the things that Shaggy was good for. And we're going to try to keep doing the same thing here.
Nice. Now, there is an infamous thread on Shaggy. I'm sorry to go back to Shaggy, but there's
okay.
So many good stories from over the years involving, we'll refer to him as Jeff Ketchup, a.k.a. Jeff Ketchum, that involved an accusation that was thrown out on the Shaggy board. Now, we won't get into the details of that necessarily, but Ketchup's response to that was something that lived on in infamy for years. What exactly happened with that?
Yeah, so somebody posted a thread, a rumor about Jeff, and I was traveling at the time, so I didn't have a chance to delete it because, you know, I don't want to have stuff like that on the board. And I got back home, and I kind of forgotten about it, and already died and was off the front page. And then I get an email from Jeff saying, hey, you need to remove this content, you know, and oh, by the way, I CC'd my lawyer on this.
Oh, man.
And so it's like, okay, you know, I was going to delete it. If you'd asked nicely, I would have deleted it. But the fact that you CC'd your lawyer just really rubbed me the wrong way. So I posted the email on the thread, and then it just took off. Jeff shows up and posts on the thread. And then basically I tell him to go get a shine box, and, you know, everybody's like all happy and stuff. But it was hilarious because he posts on the thread. He says something like, you know, I'm the victim here. I'm the one getting just slandered. It's like, Jeff, that's what you do all freaking day on your radio shows and
Orange Bloods.
Orange Bloods is right. Slander people, you know? It's like a pot kettle black thing here going. And
a little bit of that connection.
So, and then the funniest thing was, you know, after this, then hearing all the Ketchum stories, you know, the intern here at your station talks about how when he met him, he's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm the new intern here. Sticks out his hand to shake his hand. And Jeff looks at him, looks up and down, turns around and walks away. You know, it's like, so that was the other thing that came out of this was all these great Jeff Ketchum stories that, and the other thing that's funny is I've seen him out in public a couple times at various Horn events, and I've never gone up and said hi, but I've wanted to, you know, just to.
Oh, I found the.
Just to see the reaction.
I found the sign, by the way, from the pedo bear back in the day.
What did it say?
Keep quiet and don't tell anyone.
I know it's pedophile, guys, but it's pedo bear. Trust me on this one.
Oh,
pedo bear.
Oh, you're making the rules here now.
I'm making the rule. It's pedo, not pedo. All right. Tell us real quick about Daniel Figarelli. Because you guys actually cracked the case on this one for something that a lot of people consider to be a serious deal against Texas for a couple minutes.
Yeah, so. As somebody on another board described us, we're the smartest bunch of a-holes on the internet. So very, very smart posters on our board. So there's this guy that started posting all these very racist things towards recruits.
A&M.
Towards A&M. And so it was kind of a false flag type thing that, you know, it was his Twitter name was like Texas N-word, you know, I mean, it was just completely racist stuff.
Talking about douchebags.
Yeah, and so the people on Shaggy figured out who he was by just looking to see who was he following and who was following him, and then he was the only guy that was really retweeting all his all these things.
From these dummy accounts.
From these dummy accounts at recruits, you know, saying, hey, look at what you're going to go to, you know, what you're going to see in Austin and stuff like that. So Poster's a lot smarter than me, figured out who it was, and so we kind of blew the lid on the case, and there's a thread in the Classics on Shaggy about, you know, how they figured it out, and then of course he sends me an email, you know, kind of a cease and desist, you need to get that stuff off, and I sent him an email back saying, you know, you need to figure out where your place is, because, you know, I've spent more in lawyers in the last 5 years than you're going to make in the next 10 years. And, if you do sue me, I'm going to subpoena all your, you know, Twitter accounts and all your email accounts and all your ISP accounts. And we're going to prove that these are all your accounts. And then you're really not going to have much of a case against me. And he kind of quietly went away, and then he changed his name. And, now what's his name now? It's, forgot what he changed it to.
Oh,
but
my gosh. He actually changed his name to hide himself.
So if we go on Facebook, somebody found the Facebook, and I forget what his name is now. I'm sure somebody will post it on the thread. And then the other thing that was hilarious was he was an intern at like PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Shaggy is it's very well connected.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people made some calls, and he got fired from his job there. So
wow. Oh. Well, man. You know what? He kind of deserved it for
tough to argue.
How despicably he was acting online.
Golly, another cease and desist, too. I mean, you've been through a few of those, my friend.
My wife is like, if you have one more lawyer in the next, you know, 5 years, we're getting divorced. So.
Bob, a.k.a. Black Lab. He was formerly of Shaggy Bevo, then Shaggy Texas. Now he is a part of the, what is the community?
Surly Horns.
Blanking. Surly Horns community. I was going to say Hurley Sorns community.
Nope,
so
probably not that one.
Had that one wrong. Real quick, last thing before we go, tell the people about the flying banner outside of DKR.
So
the year that the person in question did end up getting fired.
Yeah.
Too.
So you know, Texas fans, when they came to Shaggy, we finally got to talk about how bad a coach Greg Davis was, how he squandered all this talent, how we had Vince Young and Cedric Benson in the backfield in 2004 and managed not to score a point against OU, and all these pent-up frustrations of years of not being able to really talk about it. So we finally get to talk about it, and then that boiled over into let's fly a banner. And so we, Mac Brown was always big on, you know, things were not our standard. So we flew a banner over the – we collected money. Everybody pitched in. I think I threw in $100, and we flew a banner over the stadium on a game day that said Greg Davis is not our standard. And then about a couple months later, he was fired.
That was so, it.
So I don't know if we had any hand in that, but I hope I think we assisted.
Well done.
Real quick, Bob, do you think 2018 is the year that Texas football turns it around?
I think so. I'm the proverbial sunshine pumper, you know, and I'm excited. And, you know, the things I saw last year, a lot of them can be improved. You know, Sam is a big hero of mine. I live right down the street from the station and across, you know, my kids are going to go to Westlake. We went to the football games. My boys, you know, have pictures with Sam from the Westlake football games, and they're his biggest hero. And so he's just, you know, he's God in our house. You know, my wife thinks he's the greatest thing ever because he's actually, even this last season, when he came back from, we had a Thursday game or whatever, we had the week off, and Sam showed up at the football game. He remembered my boys and went up to him and said, "Hey, boys, how's it going?" And, you know, it was just, and my wife was just almost in tears. She was so happy because he was so nice. And they thought, "Oh, he's at UT now. He won't remember us." And there he was. You know, my 8 and 7 year old boys are just like, you know, starstruck. And so it was a good, you know. So I'm excited. You know, it should be a good season.
Hope so as well. All right, Bob, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Sorry to read what went down, although in classic Shaggy fashion, you found a lot of humor in that situation. And no doubt you will make some really good things happen as a part of the Surly Horns community now as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it'll work out. And I think things will grow, and I appreciate your time today and being able to tell my story.
Our pleasure, man. Hopefully, we can get you on throughout the rest of the year, and then also during football season.
I was gonna say, if you want to do a weekly, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, the Pulse of the Nation or Pulse of UT Nation, I can certainly give you a good rundown of what's going on.
This might be the most listeners we've ever had right now, so we definitely need to thank you. All right, there he is, Black Lab. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it. Good stuff. Thanks to all of you for tuning in as well. We are taking a break. When we come back, it'll be Shooting the Bull right here on Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Shooting the Bull.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. Thanks again to Bob, a.k.a. Black Lab.
Yeah, man.
Formerly of Shaggy, now with Surly Horns, for joining the show to tell his story. I don't believe that will be the last time we have Bob on these airwaves. Looking forward to the next conversation, and thank you to all of you for tuning in as well. And it is time, BK, for Shooting the Bull.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There's about half the people listening right now who loved that, and half the people listening right now are like, what in the hell just happened on these airwaves?
That's okay.
But it was good. It was good, and we appreciate y'all tuning in. Yeah, Shooting the Bull is brought to you by AV Consultations, audiovisual consultations. Hey, we tell you all the time about the great work they do in the home, in all the places of business. They install whatever TV system setup you want. They can do surveillance cameras to protect you and your family. They can do audio systems. They can do golf simulators. And Tom McKay was telling me they put a golf simulator in this dude's house. They could take care of you. They're also making a difference in the community. They partnered with the Texas Stars Foundation, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to Central Texas charities over the past few years. It's AV Consultations and avconsultations.com. Trey.
All right, BK, I think you have the first story today, right?
Yeah, here is something. Listen to this. This is a headline from CNN, and this is a couple of weeks old, apparently, but somehow we missed this one.
Okay.
Texas Bill would fine men $100 each time they masturbate.
Jeez.
This is a proposed bill that also not only opposes that
$100
fine each time you masturbate.
How are they going to keep track of that one?
I'm not sure, but it imposes a 24-hour waiting period if a guy wants a colonoscopy or a vasectomy, or if he's in the market for some Viagra.
Who sponsored this bill?
So you can't go 24 hours after masturbating. Number one, you're going to get a $100 fine, and then also you can't get a Viagra or have a colonoscopy or a vasectomy within a 24-hour window. This is Representative Jessica Farrar, a Democrat. No, and she says her no is not going to get. She knew this bill was not going to get very far.
Okay.
If I can speak English, but she proposed it to make a point and give male lawmakers a taste of their own medicine. Now, she's been an advocate of women's health in this state, and she says it's very tough in the state of Texas for women to get abortions. So she's trying to point out the sexist double standard by and trying to shine a light on the obstacles women deal with when it comes to their health care. So the bill's name...
I'm sorry, I'm not seeing the double standard. Can't a man and a woman masturbate? Equally?
Apparently, I don't know. The woman would not get fined according to this bill. That is called a Man's Right to Know Act.
It's trying to make parallels to a Woman's Right to Know, which is a pamphlet that has long been criticized for some inaccurate, ideologically insane things influenced by religion. And so this is her way of getting back at that. And guess what? She's striking a conversation.
I guess so.
Congratulations.
She got it on a sports talk show.
Accomplished.
Yeah, and she knows it didn't get very far, and it probably didn't get very far in the court of law or with Congress. But I'll show us how much I know about politics with that conversation I just had right there.
Good night. Should we as a show write a letter to our senator every time we... master our own domain.
She just put like $100 bill in there each time, like act like this is a real thing.
It's just an IOU.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm out.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'd be out of a salary a little bit quicker than I'd like to admit, unfortunately. So there you go. There's a bill that didn't make it very far.
Oh, my gosh. Well, BK, I prefaced this one yesterday, and both you and Wags gave a big roll of the eyes to this, but a school district in Pennsylvania is planning on arming its students with rocks as protection against school shooters. This comes from Harrisburg, where superintendent of the Blue Mountain School District is in the spotlight after telling state lawmakers that students will protect themselves against potential school shooters with rocks. Quote, every classroom has been equipped with a 5-gallon bucket of Riverstone. If an armed intruder attempts to gain entrance into any of our classrooms, they will face a classroom full of students armed with rocks, and they will be stoned.
They will be stoned?
That's according to Dr. David
Helsel. What, the
Helsel.
Students? Who's going to be stoned here?
The potential shooter.
Oh, like they're throwing rocks at them. Oh, I was going to say, man.
That is a little bit of a,
they're going to be stoned.
Like that.
When the killer comes into the classroom, there's going to be kids, and they're all going to be stoned.
Yeah, speaking of stoned, whoever came up with that idea was very stoned when they did so.
That's a real thing?
Apparently, student and teachers like the plan, so this is something that is now in place in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Are we sure this is not the Onion or a bit or something like that? The kids are just going to have a bunch of rocks in their backpack?
I got it from, CBS or ABC in Pennsylvania.
Are we not worried about... I don't know, like the bullying of kids. Some kids get, like, someone's talking trash to another kid. A kid just pulls out a rock out of his bathroom and, speaking of stone, starts, hitting the kid. I mean, isn't that something that could happen? I feel like that's something they should consider, no?
I agree with you. I feel like rocks in the classroom is not a good idea unless it's, like, geology or something, you know? That's the rock one, right? It's not geography.
Geology is the study of rocks, man. I didn't take one of those classes.
Science.
Took physical science in college and astronomy. It was not good. All right, we like robots on this show. And by like robots, we say that we like them just in case they want to start a war against
right.
the human beings.
Yes.
And we're on the robot side.
Yes, we are.
If anybody's listening, I'm talking to my laptop, talking to my cell phone, my headphones, every TV in here, making sure. So we've got, Toyota? Some Japanese engineers. He's wearing a Toyota jersey. They've taught this AI robot how to shoot basketballs.
What?
It's a 6'3" robot, and this dude is just pulling up from the elbow and just draining everything. So I ask you people who want robot umpires in baseball, do we now want robot basketball players since they don't miss and they never make errors? Is that what we want these days?
I'll tell you what, I've seen that video. That's a one-and-done player in the current era of college basketball.
They're going to have to change the rules and let this guy go straight out of high school to the NBA.
Drain.
He's money. He doesn't even have eyes. He can't even see the damn hoop. He's just getting buckets.
Video. He literally just pulls up and he makes every basket.
Every single shot.
Every basket.
Now, he's only shooting for the elbow, so I'm not entirely sure if they have it programmed to make shots from other parts of the floor.
He's not mobile yet either, but you imagine this is the first step in what will eventually become a cyborg basketball player.
Right. Scary, too.
Bill Lambier's combat basketball is actually real.
Oh, interesting.
What is that?
Yeah,
right over
my
head
too.
Sorry about that.
All right, do you have one, or can I give this one?
I do have one more.
All right, go ahead.
Hold on a second.
No, I'm going first.
Okay.
How in Ohio? Here's the headline. This is from Black Sports Online (BSO). How an Ohio woman was arrested for trying to have sex with an Easter bunny.
What?
There's your headline.
Oh, my gosh.
This is yesterday.
See, this is the lack of respect you have for Easter right now. You're bringing this story up.
What? Easter's coming up. It's a very timely story. It would not make sense if this happened in July, right? That someone was arrested for having sex with an Easter bunny or trying to have sex.
The author of this piece. Is it one of your people? Is it a Klansman?
The last name LaBeouf, and Shia LaBeouf is Jewish, so it might be.
Oh, my gosh.
Giandra LaBeouf. Jeez. It's from BSO. It's Black Sports Online. I don't want to stereotype because there are some African-American Jews out there, but I'm going to assume probably not. But anyway, an Ohio woman was arrested after allegedly putting the moves on the Easter bunny. ABC 5 News in Cleveland says that LaDonna Hewitt visited the Richland Carousel Park in Mansfield, Ohio, and according to eyewitnesses, she was visibly intoxicated. She began making lewd and lascivious comments to a park staff person dressed as the Easter bunny. She was making some lewd comments while taking a picture and appeared to be intoxicated and was like trying to feel up the Easter bunny while taking a picture with him. Or her. Could have been a woman in the suit.
So she was trying to have sex like a rabbit, huh?
I guess so. And afterwards, she went for a ride on the carousel. I'm not sure if that means the Easter bunny or there was an actual carousel there.
Did she try and hump the carousel? Is that what you meant by ride on the carousel?
I don't know. But Trey, if you were in this Easter bunny outfit, are you letting our friend LaDonna Hewitt put the moves on you?
Well, that's Chicken Little trying to have sex with an Easter bunny right there. Look at that. Look at the... Yeah, she's not attractive.
There you go. That's all I wanted to know, man. If you can compare her to a Disney movie. All right, so there you go. Ohio woman. Happy Easter.
Well, BK, I'm a little bit bummed because I figure if I was ever going to get my cockfighting fix, it would be in a state like Arkansas. But apparently, cockfighting is not legal in Arkansas because a jail is having to house 200 roosters as cockfighting evidence after breaking up a cockfight on March 17th after they tracked down an operation that apparently was just a roaming cockfighting operation. It moved every weekend. And now, because of that, 34 people face felony counts of unlawful animal fighting, and 86 face misdemeanors for watching the cockfight.
Just for watching?
You can actually get arrested just for watching a cockfight. I've got a major problem with this one here. The Sheriff Robert Gentry said the birds will be held at his office until a court decides what to do with them.
Man, I told you I didn't want to attend one of these cockfighting rings. Now I definitely don't want to go see this. I'm not trying to get arrested for watching something. That's ridiculous. How is that a crime? Just being there? I guess you're promoting it, quote unquote, by being there?
I don't get it. Apparently, there are people who are in jail who are helping watch the birds, but nobody who's been accused of staging the cockfight will be allowed to watch the birds in jail, which is probably good because all that would do is lead to more cockfighting in the jail.
Oh, unbelievable.
And speaking of jail, there's already plenty of cockfighting going on in most jails anyhow.
Okay,
so
we didn't need that.
The extra cockfighting element.
There was just no need for that. Come on, man.
We're talking about roosters here.
It's close to Easter and Passover. Show your respects to the roosters out there. That's funny. All right, we're taking a break. One more segment to go before we send it off to Rod Babers and the Rodcast. We'll do some crosstalk on the other side. It's midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Final segment of the midday show means it's time for Rod Babers and crosstalk. What's up, Rod? How are you today? Real quick, did not hear
what's going
Rod
on,
no,
fellas.
There we go. Real quick, before we get into what's going on in the Rodcast today, I think BK and I now have a new goal for when we're in San Antonio at the end of the week for our Final Four coverage.
So apparently they're giving away. Have you seen these Pizza Hut commercials with the pie tops?
Indeed.
The shoes where you can push a button and you order pizza?
Yeah.
So apparently they're giving away 40 pairs of those to people, to fans down in San Antonio at the end of the week. I got to give me them shoes, man. I buy so much pizza online.
This is true.
It's a necessity. I didn't think those were a real thing.
But
apparently
are you a
it
Pizza
is.
Hut guy?
I'll eat any pizza, man. Pizza Hut's probably not the first choice. It's not the go-to when it comes to delivery pizza.
So Little Caesars, what the mascot is for Little Caesars. What if they had Jesus sandals that had the same feature on it, but it allowed you to order Little Caesars? Would you wear those?
No.
Yeah.
Not in public.
Is that it's cheap. Little Caesars is cheap. That's why Little Caesars is great.
And yeah. It's awesome. It's great because it's great.
$5
It's the best Detroit style pizza this side of the Detroit, man.
Oh, that's not true.
All right, what?
You didn't know what a Detroit style pizza is?
Little Caesars, man. That's all I need.
That's not a Detroit style pizza.
All right. What's coming up, I live in Detroit. Man.
That's the only reason I can say
that. Oh, you're right. You're right. Played up there with the Lions.
We'll talk about the power move by the Rams, man, getting the Dominican Sue. That's a big move. Yeah. That's a statement right there. We'll get into that.
Back to Detroit for a second. Detroit style pizza. Have you been to Via 313? Is that authentic Detroit style pizza?
No, I have not, but it's down south, right?
There's a south location. Okay, There's locations all over town.
I have not been to that. I don't necessarily care for. I'm a New York style pizza guy. I like my pizza thin. I'm a New York style guy. I like home slice pretty much.
Can't go wrong with home slice.
Can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong with Domino's either. Hey, what's what do you think? I mean, are the Rams with all the moves that they made? I mean, Sue and also getting Peters and to leave this offseason, are they right on the Eagles level for NFC favorites?
I would say so.
Okay,
yeah, I'd put them right there in that conversation. Sean McVay, dude, he's from that Shanahan coaching tree,
dude.
It's legit.
What a year
he's
had.
He's the real deal. Yeah.
No doubt about it. All right, the Rodcast coming up from 1 to 3, always bringing the goods. Hey, Texas Pro Day is tomorrow, so we'll be talking a lot of that as well. But we are out of time. Thanks to Black Lab from Shaggy Bevo. Thanks to Scott Pollard for joining the program today. Thanks to all of you for texting and listening throughout our few hours. We appreciate it. For the fantasy sports guru, the Marine across the glass, Adam Wagner. Thank you, Wags, for the Sultan of Cynicism. The Vomit King, the male Amy Schumer, the rec volleyball man himself, Trey Elling across the table. I am BK. We'll be back to get it popping same time tomorrow. Until then, let bygones be bygones. You can go and get the hell on. You and your mama. We out of here.